Good morning, church family. It's great to be together this morning, and good morning to those of you online as well. This morning, I'd like to introduce you to another new member. It's interesting introducing new members in March for at least our student population when school ends in April. But we've had students coming and going all school year. It's kind of like the Wild West this year in this pandemic school year that we've got to enjoy together. But I'd like to introduce Merritt Reese. Merritt, if you would please stand. Merritt is in the very back. She's a freshman from Panama City Beach. She's good friends with the Veros. And she's a freshman in nutritional sciences. Welcome, Merritt. Glad you're here with us. This morning, I want to speak to you about being fearless in Christ. Overcoming fear in our life. When we talk about overcoming fear this morning, especially, we're talking about overcoming any kind of physical fear or spiritual fear that would get in the way of serving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Ron talked about back in February. Amen, church? Let's overcome that fear, being fearless in Christ. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." 100 times in Scripture, we're told to not fear. And every single time in Scripture, it also says, God and Jesus say, "I will be with you." Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of whatever it is that's causing anxiety or stress or fear in your life, God says, "I am with you." How reassuring is that? Also in Jeremiah 17:7-8, "Blessed is the one who does not fear, whose confidence is in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Just out of curiosity, how many of you have been to Fred and Susan Shelf's backyard? Raise your hand. Okay, quite a number. Now, this is not an open invitation to the Shelf's backyard. Please check with Fred and Susan, who are here with us. But if you've ever been to their backyard, it's better than most nurseries. My mom had the privilege of us getting to tour the backyard since nobody else was there, and we got to enjoy that back in the fall when my mom could still travel. And it was a blessing to see how beautiful this abundant garden was. And my mom's kind of a green thumb, and she's still taking care of her garden back home during the pandemic. And so she was more than thrilled to get some plants, some fruit-bearing plants and flowers from Susan. She really enjoyed their garden. Now, a garden like this doesn't happen by accident. And I don't think it's Fred taking care of the garden as much as Susan. She does a lot of pruning, a lot of taking care of that to make it beautiful, right? I know she's hired some college students over the years to also help out in taking care of that beautiful garden. Spiritually, God prunes us as well. It may not always feel good. It may be difficult at times, but God prunes us so that we, through whatever may come in our life, can bear fruit for him as well. In talking about fear, it's important to define fear. And in defining fear, fear is one, a response or emotion to danger. Where's Darren Caulfield at? Darren? Yeah, I know you're freaking out too. This is what makes me afraid. There's not a whole lot I'm afraid of. I'll get dangerously close to an alligator for a good picture. But when it comes to spider, I go screaming off. This spider, or spider like this, I was walking about this time last year when the bugaboos were starting to come out again towards the beginning of spring. I was walking out from my kitchen to the garage, and it was on the door frame, on the garage side of the door as I opened it up, and it dropped on my head. I about lost it. I haven't had a heart attack before in life, but I felt one coming on. Well, I knocked that critter to the ground, and when I did, I backed away from it, still screaming, and it was following me, except it wasn't moving its legs. It had, in that short second or two that it landed on my head, built a little web line, and I was dragging across the floor as I was running away from it, in which I had a second heart attack, and then smacked it good with a broom, and then took it out. Awful, awful, awful experience. And that was my response or emotion to that danger. I also found it interesting that in Webster's, it says that fear is a reverence, especially toward God. How cool is that? That's in the dictionary. That was neat to see. You can look it up yourself. A reverence, especially toward God. Understanding both definitions are important because the first one moves us toward safe boundaries. I was moving towards a safe boundary, getting away from that spider as quickly as possible. The second moves us toward proper interaction and response to God. There is a good kind of fear, and that's a holy fear, a reverent fear, a fear that puts us before our Maker, bowed down in reverence and in loving fear towards an awesome Creator that cares for us, protects us, and guides us in life. The reason I have a picture of a bear up here, my daughter, Mackenzie, we try to limit screen time, especially during the pandemic, but she caught me, instead of me saying, turn off the TV, I was like, oh, what's going on here? And I walked in, and she was watching a documentary on two little cubs that had gotten away from Mama Bear, and they were off, and a mountain lion was chasing them. And they were, with their little legs, getting away a little bit, but obviously being caught up with. And they turned around, and they looked at the mountain lion, and as if making a last stand, they were, both little cubs were like, ah! And the mountain lion was like, gotcha. And then you see the mountain lion go big-eyed and start to back away, because guess who showed up? Mama Grizzly, exactly. God protects us. God takes care of us. It's so important to know that God is in your corner. He just wants us to stay in his fold. Unhealthy fear produces a paralyzation. Fear improperly paralyzes. Saul cannot be found. Where is he? He has hidden himself among the baggage, it says in 1 Samuel 10:22. Fear causes us to be inactive, to freeze, or to hide. And the main problem is that it makes us too scared to do anything for Jesus. And that's called disobedience. Not actively sinning is not good enough. Not just doing things that God tells us not to do is not it alone. It's also doing things that we need to be doing for the kingdom actively, even during the pandemic. Amen, church? Jesus tells his disciples numerous times to fear not, as we read earlier. 2020, we were supposed to have Summer Olympics. Those are now scheduled for 2021. We don't know if we're still having Summer Olympics. We have no idea. But when I watch Olympics, one of my favorite things to watch is gymnastics, because I think to myself, I could never do that. Maybe the Winter Olympic sweeping, I could probably do that. But not gymnastics. And so one of the most interesting things is the balance beam. And watching these gymnasts balance themselves. Now, occasionally, they're going to fall. They're going to fail. But doing these amazing routines and then sticking that landing most of the time, that blows my mind how much they train to make that happen. And if a gymnast were to get up on that balance beam and instead hold on for dear life and grab that balance beam and go, all right, I think the song's about over, and then jump off and stick the landing, that wouldn't score 10. I don't even know if that would score 1. But think about our lives spiritually. Sometimes we get so comfortable and forget that it's faith over fear, and we forget to tell other people about Jesus, and we forget that works accompany faith. And we may just check in here once in a while and not do much else. And it's if we're telling God, I'm a Christian, God, but I'm going to just hold on for dear life. And then at the end of life, we're like, what do you think, God? God's like, really? That's it? That's what you did with your life for me? We need to realize, even though we're going to fail sometimes and fall off that beam, even though Peter sunk in the water, that we are still supposed to do many things for God's kingdom, that faith produces works as well. An unhealthy fear produces, or fraternizes, I should say. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Fear causes us to have unhealthy relationships. If this relationship with God isn't right, then these relationships aren't right. And if these relationships aren't right, then how in the world are we going to have good relationships with the world around us to bring them to Christ? The main problem is it causes people-pleasing instead of God-pleasing. All right, here's our main passage for this morning, Psalm 56. You turn there with me or look at the screen. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long, they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long, they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Check this out. Because of their wickednesses, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this, I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Amen and amen. 5 points from this passage in Psalms 56. First, and how to stay fearless for Christ, realize I can't control everything or everyone. All the situations that life throws at me, especially during the pandemic or in culture or in cancel culture, remember, God is in control. This is about his lordship. Authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. I will be with you. Who is in control of your life? This picture is of Adeline last year. I thought it would be funny to take this picture when we were sitting in our driveway and caption it and put it on social media with a caption, "Hey guys, hop in, I got this." And my wife thought it was funny, I thought it was funny, we posted it. Lots of good reaction. I had an old high school friend that remembers my driving from high school that said, "You know what, I think I trust Adeline's driving more than yours." And I said, "Fair enough." But obviously, when we're riding in a vehicle together, I'm in control, or Julie's in control, and we realize we have precious cargo in that van. How do you think God, when you give him the steering wheel to your life, is going to control it? You think he's going to take you off course? Of course not. Jesus died for you. God loves you. Do not be afraid. This is about his lordship. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Not only is he not going to misguide you, he may take you in a place you didn't expect. Now that may happen, but I promise you, having lived 52 years of life, it's always going to be for your benefit when you give God the control of your life." Number two, realize I'm not perfect. I will make mistakes, but God, he is gracious. This is about identity. Where is your identity found? Is it, do you identify more with your work than with God? Do you identify more with your major than with God? Or more in earthly relationships than God? God first, then everything else will fall into place. Where does your worth come from? We've had several engagements, several weddings. I got to distance myself a little bit and attend Alex Lancaster and Caitlin Klein's wedding this past weekend. From the very, very back, I made my own row again. But it was awesome to be there. And we, with so many engagements, we've had so many guys realizing that a diamond has great worth. And that diamond can cost a month's salary. Depending on the stone, it could cost a couple months' salary. Now, realizing the value of that diamond, guys want to take care of that. They certainly don't want the girl to lose it. And so I wouldn't recommend this, but a diamond will not break under pressure. You can try with a hammer. I wouldn't recommend it, but it will not break under pressure. It's one of the strongest gems there is. It's amazing to see what a diamond could do. What about our lives? What about us? We're perplexed, as Paul says, but we're not crushed. We're surrounded by the enemy, but I'll tell you, your soul is everlasting. God has got you. He's got you. He's got my mom. He's got our family. He's got our Christian family. Let's bring more people under his protection. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Third, trust it to God. God is faithful. This is about trust. It's about faith. Do you trust God? When we get together on Wednesday nights, the students sit down. I know those chairs are about 20 years old. The reason I know they're 20 years old because I went to go pick them up with Harold Bowman at Steve Hallway's instruction 20 years ago. We went and got truckloads of these chairs and set them out in the gym. Some of them are missing screws. Occasionally they fall apart. But for the most part, they're sturdy. Our students don't think, oh, should I sit down on this chair? No, they just sit down on the chair. When you came in this morning, I don't know how old these pews are, but I do know that you don't think about it. You just sit down. We trust the chair we're sitting in. How much spiritually more should we trust sitting in the fold of God and overcoming any fear in our lives? 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. In 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Even when we're faithless, even when we don't carry that mustard seed faith, he is still faithful. And so we need to do our best to trust him with our lives and overcome fear. How to stay fearless in Christ? God will work it out. Realize that God will work it out. Just like in that Psalms 56, God will work it out. He is sovereign. This is about God's sovereignty. Do you pray, not my will, but your will be done, Lord? As in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And of course, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I don't know how well you can see this picture. I put this up on social media last week. I had a lot of great reaction. But it says here, you are currently stressing about something that God has already worked out. A reminder to everyone, and my mom commented on this, and she goes, this is right on the money. You are currently stressing about something that God has already worked out. No matter what may be causing you stress or fear or anything again in life, realize God has got it. Live this day for him. And fifth and finally, always start the day knowing God loves you and has your best interest in mind. Before my mom's journey with cancer 5 years ago, you know, we talked with her mom and dad on the phone maybe twice a week, maybe three times a week. Since that journey started 5 years ago, we don't miss a day talking to my parents. whether it be the morning, noon, or evening, we're going to make that phone call, or they're going to call us. We're going to talk during that day because we have each other's best interests in mind. And all of your family relationships that are strong, this is about the deepest core need, love. You love seeing your kids. You love seeing your grandkids. Kids, you love seeing your parents most of the time. You love seeing each other. This is about sonship and daughtership, and this is about grandsonship and granddaughtership. We love getting together once a month, at least with my family in St. Petersburg, because we realize that this relationship is very valuable, and God has blessed us with this. So the question for you this morning is, do you earn your adoption, or do you receive it? We receive it. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, of daughtership, of adoption. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Amen, church? And as God's children, we walk boldly in faith and not in fear. We are his sons and his daughters. And it's awesome to know that. It's awesome to have that in our lives. Well, there are two questions. And those two questions are written on a green piece of paper. And if you would take one of these home with you, or take it to lunch, take it home. If you're at home, they're on Ron's devotional that he puts out on the UCC website. The two questions for you this morning, for your family or for your small group that's meeting together: how has God moved you towards safe boundaries in your life spiritually, is question number one. And question number two is, how has God moved you toward proper interaction and response to him? The good kind of fear. The faithful fear. If you haven't given your life over to Christ and you would like to do so this morning, or if you'd like to receive the prayers of the church for any reason, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.